Lucy, I just want maybe as an introduction, just
tell us how you got here, the interesting story, and maybe also where you come from, your family's history, and all that.
Good morning, everyone. I was born in Uitenhage in the Eastern Cape. I grew up there. I'm raised by a Christian family. And then sometime in my life, the Lord spoke to me, and I moved to East London to be prepared for the works of ministry. And that is where I met my wife. And while I was in East London, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, go to church. And so I sat down with a friend who used to stay here in church, and I asked him, how is church? And then he told me, no, I'm no longer staying in church. So we met in Port Elizabeth, and I shared with him, you know, the thing that is in my heart. And he said, no, he knows someone here in church, and that someone is Luke. Everybody knows Luke? Okay. And so he called Luke. He said, no, he's got a friend. He'll try and speak to his friend. Because at first the intention was to come to George for just a couple of days and see how is George, and then go back to the Eastern Cape. And so this friend of mine, he called Luke. They sat down with Luke, and Luke said, no, it's not a problem. And Luke spoke to some of his friends. And so the friends of Luke, they gave me their house for 5 days. They have never met me. They don't know me. And how do you trust someone with your house? And so...
So that's it's Gerrit Wilsdorf, Lise, over there, Lise.
And Lise. So they went to Cape Town. It was on the 7th of August, 2015. 7, 8, 9, 10th. They came on the 10th. And then I left the Tuesday, the 11th of August, 2015. But in that 5 days, the Lord convinced me so much about his plan and his purpose for my life and what he has in store for the city of George. So as I was in their house, I really got convicted and inspired to move to George, because the battle to say yes to the calling was for about 24 months or so. And then in that time, that was enough to say, okay, Lord, I surrender. And then from there, I moved. And it's so amazing. After I met Gerrit and Lizzie, they've been such a great blessing to us. We met Amo, we met Luke, we met Francois, we met everyone. And the amazing thing, you all carry the same heart. And that heart is the heart that is filled with the love of God. And that blesses me so much.
Awesome. Great. That's an amazing story, eh? People just trust Vusi all the way from Eastern Cape. But Lisa, you didn't know, eh? You thought it's somebody that we knew that ended up. Great, but that's a blessing. So tell us your name. What's the meaning of your name?
My full name is Mvuselelo. My full name means revival.
Amen.
So I was born in a time when there was a man of God who was busy with a revival in Uitenhage. My parents gave me the name Bulelani, which means be thankful. And this man called me. I was just a few days, maybe not even 10 days. And then he said to my parents, I want to bless this child. I'm going to give him a name based on what I am doing right now. And he gave me the name Vuselelo, which means revival.
It's awesome. So let's try and say that, Mvuselelo. You can do better than that. Mvuselelo. So there was such a confirmation, because we've been praying for revival and there's a lot of prophecies about George, and then we meet Vusi and he's like, hey, my name is Revival. Arrival has arrived. It's amazing. So Vusi, just maybe also share where your church is and currently what you're doing with Work for a Living when you're starting.
Our church is on the Sankral Road in Conville, on your way to Timberley to Total Garage, next to the Conville Abdiak, they call it Abdiak, next to the Abdiak, our church is there. The name of our church is River Church George. We are busy with students in Timberley, in Parkerstop. students that are considered to be rebellious. So in the normal schooling system, they are rejected. And some of them, they really come from very difficult situations. Some of them are victims of rape. Some of them are victims of abuse, any kind of abuse. Some of them are victims of poverty. You know, the self-esteem is broken, self-confidence, they are confused and delusional. But the Lord in the past 3 years has really been using my wife and I to restore their dignity. And the second project that we are busy with, it's Work for a Living. Work for a Living, it trains people to be inspired and to be encouraged when it comes to work. We're teaching them work ethics. Because one thing that I've been learning in this project, I've learned that it's not that there are no jobs. The jobs are there. Amen. It's just that the mindset to treasure and value the job, it's not there. So Ina Richards, she's training us to train the community on how to have work ethics, to love your job, to love your time, and to value the customers and everything.
Amen. So Ina and Walter, they're coming to our evening service, and they're an amazing ministry. So if you want to look them up, Work for a Living in Seven Nations already, and Vusi and Ayanda, his beautiful wife up there. She can't be here because she needs to preach at their church this morning. So Vusi, maybe just last little thing. One thing that I really enjoy about you is that you can sing. But recently he came to me and he said, "Hey, Amo," because we got a couple of Bibles donated to the church, and he said, "Hey, Amo, we need a couple of Bibles." I'm like, "Vusi, lots of English Bibles. We can just give them to you. How much do you want?" He's like, "Amo, no, I have Afrikaans church. I need Afrikaans Bibles." And then he said, one of his favorite things is the Afrikaans koorkies from his people. So maybe just give us an example, just one small little, maybe that Yinning one.
Nah.
Come on. You can do it.
Okay, I need you guys to join me on this one. Okay. It says, Eke de leke smaki, ipene en me yarki. To the air, my seal comrated. To create a lake smaki. Eke de lake smaki. Ipene en me archi. To the air, my seal comrated. To create a lake smaki. To create a lake. It's a beautiful song, eh? Hey, I love this song, man. Another one. I'm thinking of another one. Another one says, "Ons nie moman en ons pray say nam, is nog dieselfde Jesus, is nog dieselfde Jesus, die wonderlijke Jesus." Ons nie moman, ons pray say nam. Hey, my God.
Hey, it's good. So I'm asking all these questions because he's not going to share this. The other thing that's really exciting for him that's coming up, there's Dr. Toomey. I played a short little clip of him last week. He's coming to George. So probably the black worship artist in South Africa, and Vusi is going to open for him because he has a beautiful voice, an amazing voice. So that's coming up in July, huh?
July the 6th.
He's on all the posters, so we're just so glad for having you here. And the other thing is, he's not all about the glitz and the glamour. He comes to our church and he serves. Like him and his wife, they make coffee when their small group is on duty there with Henry and Marika, amazing people. So where have you heard about that? Eh? Somebody planting a church but also serving in another man's church, or Jesus' church. So thank you so much. Do what you want to do. Get these Afrikaans people singing you Afrikaans quirkies. I love that.
God bless
Let's give you a hand.
Amen. Estiere ni moini. Is die Here 'n pragtige. I went to another church in Parkton and the man of God said, "Vusi, die Here sal jou tong losmaak. Dan jy sal begin in Afrikaans om te preek." Hey, I can't wait, man. I can't wait. I really can't wait. Tracy, can you please help me? Please help me, John Mark, just for 5 minutes. I enjoy her hands. And I want us to, if we can just open our Bibles in the book of 2 Timothy. When I asked Amo, what do you want me to preach on? He said, reaching out. And today it's my prayer that we will receive the wisdom from God, the heart, and most importantly, the grace to reach out. Today I'm here to encourage you to have a heart of grace to reach out. Without the grace of God, lives will never be the change. The mindsets will never be the change. It takes the grace of God to change a life. And if you can stand, but if you can't, especially the elderly, it's okay. But I would love us to stand up on our feet. And I want you to read. There's a verse. It's going to be there. I want you to read that verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. But there's a place there that says, "My son." Now, instead of saying to the person next to you, "My son," mention their name. "Then you, Johan, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." Now I want you to read it to the person next to you. Just ask them their name and read it to them. Especially that part that says, "Be strong in the grace." Be strong, be strong, be strong, be strong. Read it to them. Be careful not to say, "May CN." I am says, "New CN." Be strong in the grace. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to put your hand here on your chest. Say these words after me. "Lord, I give you my heart, my intentions, my motives, my desires. Teach me to be strong in your grace. From today onwards, my life is focused on your grace. From today onwards, my life is centered on your grace. Holy Spirit, inspire me with the grace of God. Holy Spirit, convict me with the grace of God. I will not be shaken. I will not be moved. I am strong. I am strong. I am strong in the grace of God. The grace of God covers me, protects me, overshadows me. I am standing in the grace of God. By faith, I am standing in the grace of God in Jesus' name." And if you believe it, I want you to put your hands together and bless the Lord. Whoo, hallelujah! Hallelujah! You may take your seats. The grace of God. The grace of God. There is nothing that is as wonderful than the grace of God. You know, Paul, in the most difficult times of his ministry, there were people who were undermining what he was teaching about. He taught and he said, "All things work together
for your good, because you love the Lord and you are called according to his purposes. And there were people who resented that. They said, no, that's a lie. He taught and said, if God be for you, then who can be against you? And the people who said, no, that's a lie. He also taught and he said, by faith we have gained access into the grace of God in which we now stand. And there were people who said, no, you are lying. That is not the truth. He would preach and say, we are justified by faith. And people would say, you are lying. He would preach and say, Jesus died for our sins. And people would say, you are lying. God doesn't forgive sins. And this hurt him so much. He was very close to being bitter, depressed, and losing purpose. But he prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. So as you just declared this, I am strong in the grace. I am focused in the grace. My life is centered on the grace. There will be a shift in the way that you think. Certainly. You can't see your life according to your circumstances and your situations. It doesn't matter how difficult it might be. When your mind is focused on the grace of God, you will win always. And God wants you to win. Amen. And so I want us to focus on the grace of God. As we are entering into this time of reaching out, let the grace of God be the drive. Let it drive you. Just understand, it takes nothing but the grace of God. Amen. Now let's turn our Bibles into the book of Titus. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you so much. Let's put our hands together and bless the Lord for her. Titus chapter 2. If you're there, say amen. If you're not there, say please don't wait for me. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Everybody say no. Everybody say no. Awesome. The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So the grace of God teaches us. We are aware that we are living in times of disorder, discouragement. It looks like nothing is getting better. It's like things are getting worse and worse and worse and worse. But even though it might seem things are getting worse and worse, if we focus on the grace of God, heaven will come down and things will begin to change. So the grace of God has appeared to all men. If God can show you grace, you aren't. If you can see grace, what's stopping someone else from seeing the grace that you have seen? If God can give you grace and you receive it, what's stopping someone else from receiving the same grace that has changed your life? What's stopping them? So we need to be at a point of understanding that if the grace of God can change my life, the very same grace of God can change anyone's life. Amen. Now let's turn our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 12. So the grace of God teaches us to say no. If it's ungodly, the grace of God will never encourage you to do it. Be strong in the grace. One more time, everybody say, be strong in the grace. I am strong in the grace. All right. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Verse 3 says, For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Now, we learned something this morning that the grace of God teaches us. Now, there are five things that we are going to learn together as we are sitting here. What the grace of God can teach us. The Bible says, don't conform. Don't conform. The world is full of hatred and bitterness. Don't conform. The world will say hate. Hate poor people. Don't do that. The world will say hate Vusi, hate white people. The world will tell me that, not the devil. But I should listen to the grace. The grace of God will say to Vusi, Vusi, love everyone. Love, love. So don't conform to what the world is trying to teach you. And the world will always give you reasons. Yeah, here's a reason why you have to hate. Here's a reason why you don't have to forgive. Here's a reason why you have to resent. Here's, you have reasons. Well, do it based on these facts. But don't conform. When we conform to what the world has to offer, we will never become the light in the world. Remember, Jesus wants us to be the light in the world. But if we conform to the world, we will think like the world. We will speak like the world. We will even conduct ourselves just like the world. Our attitude will be just like the attitude of the world. But God wants us to be different in a broken world. Jesus said, you are in this world. Francois, you are in this world. But you are not of this world. You are not. You are different. Touch the person next to you. Say, you are different. You are different. Now, there are five things that we are going to look at that will help us. The grace of God is going to teach us. And it's five things. And they are not easy things. They are just not easy. In fact, the life that God has called us to is not the life of easy and difficult things. It's a life of possibilities and impossibilities. And Jesus says, all things are possible to those who believe. So all things are possible for us by faith. Let's take the word of God and let the word of God transform the way that we think. Now let's go to verse 9. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. The first thing that the grace of God will teach you, remember, the grace of God teaches us to say no. And it also teaches us to say yes to godliness. The first thing that the grace of God teaches you as you are reaching out into the world, in the workplace, community, whatever you might call it, first thing that the grace of God will teach you is love. And love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. No pretense, no pretending. Love. Love purely, genuinely, sincerely. And sometimes it's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do. But here, we begin here. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. So if you hold on to what is good, good. You compliment people when they do good. It's very easy to love. It becomes possible. You always see good in others. So hold on to what is good. Hate what is evil. And then love will become natural for you. But if you hate what is good and you love what is evil, love will have no meaning. Love, love. And love must be sincere. The first thing, and Jesus said, he said to us, the world will know that you are my disciples when you love one another. And the world will believe. He said two things. He said, the world will believe that the Father has sent me if you love one another. But if you don't love one another, the world will not even believe Jesus. Jesus is the Savior. But you guys, you can't even love one another. Is he really the Savior? So when we love one another, when we love one another, irrespective of the color of the skin, irrespective of the economic status, when love prevails, heaven surely comes down. Love sincerely. Love, love, love. Who do we love? We love our enemies. People who don't even appreciate us. People who use us. People who abuse us. We have no other obligation but to love. Paul, he taught the Roman church, he said to them, the only debt that you have is to love. No other. Love. Commit yourself to understand love. Commit yourself to express love. Give yourself to love. Love is a fragrance. You know, when a person who walks in love, when they enter a place, you feel it. They won't even say a word. But the moment they walk in, you just see something in their eyes. You see love. It comes through their eyes. It comes through their words. You feel it. It's an atmosphere. So love must be sincere. How do we do it? Hate what is evil and love what is good. The second thing that we need to understand, it is to serve one another. Romans, same chapter, verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. When we serve the Lord, when we commit to serve the Lord, when we serve the Lord, it's not difficult to serve others. This is what the world teaches us. The world says to us, let people serve you. Let people serve you. I mean, you are their boss. Let them serve you. You are their pastor. Let them serve you. Let them serve you. Let them run after you. You know, John, the disciples of Jesus, and their mother, they came together with their mother. And they said to Jesus, hey, let us sit close to you. You know, let us be the main guys. And let everyone else serve us. Jesus rebuked them. In fact, the other guys, the other disciples, they were very angry. Because that's a worldly system. God has called us to serve others with our giftings, with our time, with our talents. The purpose of God, the will of God, when you discover the will of God will always direct you into the place of you serving others. But we will never serve others until we serve the Lord. So you serve the Lord, and the Lord imparts in you the desire to serve others. Amen. So we also love the Lord. When we love the Lord, we will also love others. When we serve the Lord, we will also serve others. There is no greater joy than to serve others. Serve others. In your business, let it be a service. Let it not just become a place of making profit and money, but let it become a service. Serve. Serve, serve. So as we are reaching out with the mindset of grace. And the grace of God teaches us to love. The grace of God teaches us to serve. Amen. Now let's go to point number 3. Pray. The grace of God teaches us to love, to serve. And the third one is pray. Everybody say pray. Amen. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. When we are faithful in prayer, prayer demands faithfulness. When we are faithful in prayer, we love. We love, we love. When we are faithful in prayer, we serve passionately. Now, I want you to show you something. Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be faithful in prayer. We actually planted River Church George on this scripture. And I want to share with you what God taught us. Be joyful in hope. Joy and hope, those two things, they go hand in hand. The greatest need in the world out there one of the greatest needs is hope. The world is hopeless. Hopeless. And you can't give something that you do not have. You can only give people what you have. And now the word of the Lord is saying, be joyful in hope. God says, I have a plan for you. And my plan, it is to prosper you. My plan, it is to give you a hope and a future. This is what God is saying. So be joyful in hope. Find joy. And don't just keep that hope in you wherever you go. Just like love, these things, it's an atmosphere. It's a presence. Even in the workplace, when you go to work, if you've got hope, they will feel it. They have to. They will see that you are different. There's something different about you. It's the hope. Be joyful in hope. And the devil will try by all means to shoot the arrows and show you and tell you that you are hopeless. That is nonsense. Don't listen to that. Your life is full of hope, and be joyful in hope. Be joyful. Come what may, be joyful. Even if things don't go your way, be joyful in hope. Be joyful. Be joyful in hope. And secondly, be patient in affliction. Not all times are going to be good times, unfortunately. Not all times are going to be good times. Sometimes are bad times. Sometimes are times of trials. Sometimes are times of tribulations. Sometimes are times of tests. Sometimes are times of afflictions. But when affliction comes, just be patient. When bad times come, be patient. And we can't reach out into the world, and yet we don't have patience. I mean, people are impatient. They are anxious. They fear. And now you're coming and you don't have patience. How will they change? How will they see God? Be patient. Just be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Patience is a weapon that God gives to champions. You can't be patient and still lose. You will always be on the winning side when you are patient. You will always be. So be patient in affliction. And the devil is going to say to you, when you're going through tough times, he always makes you anxious. He makes you restless. But just be patient. Just be patient. And the patience that the grace of God teaches you, go out there. When you reach out there, impart it to others. The hope, impart it to others. And the most important thing, be faithful in prayer. The life that God has called us into, this life that God has called us into, it will never have meaning until we become prayerful. Faithful in prayer. When you are faithful in prayer, being patient in affliction, it's a piece of cake. When you are faithful in prayer, being joyful in hope, it's a glue that sticks everything together. It's a glue. So when you are faithful in prayer, patience, hope, joy, it's faithfulness, all of those things, all of those qualities. So the first one is love. The grace of God teaches us to reach out with love. The second one, the grace of God teaches us to reach out to serve. And thirdly, the grace of God inspires us, teaches us to pray. The grace. We pray through the grace. We pray through the grace. And the fourth one, hospitality. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Hey, this person next to you is going to have a tough time this morning. Touch them once again. Say, practice hospitality. Practice. Be kind. Be generous. Be kind and be generous. The Bible says God loves a generous giver. God loves. When God looks at you, he sees someone who can give generously when he looks at you. And that's the reason why he loves you so much. He believes that you are a giver. And the word of the Lord says now, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. when you reach out to people, have kindness. Reach out to them with generosity, hospitality. And this is one of the things that us as Christians, the world, can understand that we're different. The world that we live in is full of greed. It's full of stinginess. That's why we are having people who are corrupt in the places of influence. Because they don't understand the power of generosity. There's something that I admire about the Islams. The Muslims. Those people are generous. If there's something good about Muslims, it's generosity. They are very kind. But their kindness, in many cases, it's only to their own. You will never see a Muslim begging. You will never. Even in their businesses, they make sure that your business will never fail. Assalamu alaikum. They'll always make sure. And if there's anything that we can learn from anyone, especially from Muslims, is hospitality. But when the grace of God teaches us about generosity, it doesn't end with us Christians. It doesn't end. It doesn't end with us. Our generosity doesn't end with the people who believe what we believe. Hospitality for us, it goes beyond. Because we are, as Christians, we are more focused on the soul of the human being. Not the religion of the human being. Not the color of the skin of the human being. Not the economic status of the human being. We are interested in the soul of the person. And if there is anything that can really touch a heart, generosity goes a long way. For some people, you don't even need to say to them, Jesus loves you, Jesus saves. Just you becoming kind. Just you becoming generous. Say, God bless you. I've got this for you. God bless you. God bless you. Just by that. That can touch their life. There's a guy on the social media. His name is Malcolm X. That guy goes out and he blesses people. You should check him out, just Malcolm X. He posts videos on Instagram, on Facebook, everywhere. He never shows himself. He blessed me the other day. It was Thursday. He took an old man who's begging in the street into one of those top hotels in Sandton. Took that man there. Went with that man. They sat down and they had lunch together. And when he got there, talking about hospitality, when he got there, he gave a tip to the lady that was helping him, the waiter. He gave a tip, a huge tip. And on their way out, this guy said to this old man, you can come here anytime you want and have lunch. They will keep receipts for me. I will pay for you. I'm saying to myself, what kind of a man is this? Is he a believer or is he Illuminati? What kind of a man is he? But I learned something. Hospitality, generosity. He doesn't even know that man. And he was even in Cape Town at some point. You know, us Xhosa people, we can be so dramatic. So he went to the university and he gave money to the students. And he gave, buy this for lunch. And more people were like, lunch? What lunch? Lunch? Take your money. No, give me your money. They can't believe it. They don't believe it at all. So when the grace of God overshadows your life, you learn to love. When the grace of God overshadows your life, you learn to serve. You learn to pray. You learn to be kind. And is that the last one? This is the last one. The grace of God teaches us to live in peace. Peace creates order. Where there is no peace, there is disorder. The grace of God teaches us to live in peace. Let's stand up on our feet. I want you to close your eyes and lift up your hands. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and by supplication, make your requests known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will govern in your mind and even in your heart. As you are beginning this week, setting yourself to serve your community, to reach out to the lost, the broken, and the hopeless, I pray this, that the grace of God will overshadow you, that no anxiety will stop you, that no fear will stop you from testifying about the love of God, that the peace of God will encourage you to serve others with diligence. I pray today that the Lord will infuse to you enthusiasm, optimism. I pray today that the grace of God will charge you to fight the good fight of faith. I pray today that the grace of God will make a way for you where there is no way. It is my prayer that the grace of God will strengthen you, that you will not be moved, that you will not be shaken. You are the light to the world. You will shine. You are the light to the world. You will shine. Keep on. Keep on. Keep on shining. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Keep your focus on the author and the finisher of your faith. Let the grace of God teach you from today that you are extraordinary. Let the grace of God teach you that there is a super upon your natural. You will not fail. People might have failed you. Everything else might have failed you. But I'm here to declare as the man of God that the grace of God is sufficient for you. Receive the grace. Receive it now. Receive it. Just receive the grace of God. Let the grace of God empower you. Just receive it. Just receive. Just receive the grace. Receive, receive, receive the grace. He's in this place. And God wants to use you. He wants to use you. God is not shocked about your age. He's not shocked about the color of your skin. God is not shocked about your situation. He wants to use you. He wants you to change the world. He wants you to change your community. God wants to use you as his agent. Wherever there's a need of love, be there to express love. Wherever there's a need of hope, be there to express the hope. Wherever there's a need for prayer, be there to pray. Wherever there's a need for peace, be there for peace. You are an agent from above. Let the will of God be done in your life. Kushabra abasonehege. Kusepre isanahare. Kutre edebehan. Lebe ishmahaya. Kuskede ina. Kuskede ishomahaya. Kuraba santolebe. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We bless you. We adore you. We declare there is no one above you and there is no one besides you. It is my prayer, O God, that you'll touch the hearts of your people and that they will become the light in the dark world. It is my prayer, O God, that they will have a revelation of your grace. Your grace is sufficient for each and every one of them. In Jesus' name.